Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the Umrpreneur podcast. I'm so excited to bring to you guys my guest today, Sister Farah Hussein, who is actually an amazing coach that specializes in working with individuals in terms of helping them keep accountability towards their goals, achieve what it is that they desire, and ultimately build structured habits for success. And she's also a networking coach. And I'm going to dive more about that, understand what that is, how you help people with networking, what that even means. And inshallah, my goal today is to extract as much value as possible for you guys, the listeners, in terms of how you can build more structured habits, how you can be more self-accountable, and achieve some of the goals that you've been procrastinating on. So Farah, without further ado, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the episode, to the podcast.
Wa alaikum
actually.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Alhamdulillah, I'm super excited to have this conversation, and I think it's an important conversation to have because most people, it's not for a lack of want when it comes to achieving goals or, you know, kind of transforming our life for the better, but it's usually that we seem to be getting in our own way. What's interesting actually is, I'll use a personal experience. I've been trying to fix my sleep routine and it just hasn't been working for me. Like I'm telling myself, like, that's it. I'm going to sleep at 11 and I'm going to wake up at 7 and this is going to, and I end up being in bed until like 1 a.m. But like my mind is just racing with work and a few other things. And I haven't been able to kind of structure that habit, for example. So I'm curious if you had any tips for me that you would potentially give to a customer as well that's struggling with implementing a sleep routine in their life.
I love this one. It's one of my favorites. And it's one of the common problems people have because I used to have it as well. But saying to yourself that you've got to sleep, you want to go to sleep at 11 o'clock and you have to wake up at 7 o'clock. So when you have that kind of mindset, automatically your mind just shuts down. It doesn't take orders, right? So if we rephrase it, and think, okay, Abby, what's your evening routine like? So it starts from the evening, right? And how you structure your evening. Now, what time do you have your dinner, right? What time do you drink, have your last drink, your water, your tea? And then when do you stop watching television or Netflix or going onto social media? So those are all the things come into play. So if we can fix those small things, then you'll be able to get to sleep on time and you will sleep without your mind wandering, right? And then you'll be able to wake up in the morning.
You know, you're completely correct because I'm guilty as charged. I end up working until 11 and then that's it. I'm like, okay, I'm signing off. I'm going to bed. But my mind is still racing. So when you talk about an evening routine, what do you feel would be a beneficial evening routine for someone who wants to have, you know, a consistent sleep routine in their lives? Like, is there a specific time that we should start to turn down and, you know, maybe shut off electronics and unwind before bedtime?
Absolutely. So working hours, basically, if you're an employee, your working hours basically are 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. But a lot of there's self-employed people who kind of work after those hours. You've really got to discipline yourself to start at a specific time and finish, shut your laptop at 5 o'clock, done and dusted. Mm-hmm. Because whatever it is, it will be there when you wake up. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to happen. The world's not going to erupt. So shut your laptop and put it away because in your head you're thinking, oh my God, it's so important. No, if it was important, why didn't you do it before? Right. So you've got to think about it. So you've got to have your dinner. I always go with this rule. Have your dinner 3 hours before you go to sleep. Right. Mm-hmm. You have your water, your tea 2 hours before you go to sleep. So you don't wake up in the middle of the night and keep going to the toilet. And then you stop watching your TV or anything 1 hour before. So what you're really doing is you're training your mind to calm down, right? So that you've had your dinner, you've done what you needed to do, you've watched television, and you've got this hour. So in that hour, you can go and have a bath, like a hot bath. You can listen to some meditation. You can do some prayer. Or you can just take your time for yourself or even read a book. That's the best way to do it. So what you're doing is you're training your mind slowly, slowly, slowly just to wind down. And once you've done that, it becomes a habit and then it's a discipline.
Mm-hmm. Mashallah, golden nuggets. I love it. I'm lucky I get to have these interviews because honestly, I just use these interviews for my own benefit. But but I'm sure someone listening to this probably struggles with sleep as well and is going to benefit from this. So let me ask you this because one thing is interesting. You recently shared a post where you actually told people to stop attending networking events. So tell me about that. Like, what is it specifically that people should do if they want to get into networking right now in the modern age? Because it seems like right now, the world is becoming more digital. People are becoming more connected online, but it seems like genuine connection is lacking, and genuine relationships are lacking as well. So I know that's something that you specialize in. I'd love to hear more about what it is that you help with, and maybe what's the right approach for networking in the modern age that we live in today.
Okay, again, Abby, it all boils down to one thing. It boils down to your mindset. First of all, you've got to think about it and ask yourself, why am I going out to network? How can I help other people? How is it going to benefit me? So networking, I don't think is just for business people or employees. Networking is for every single person out there, because the way the world is becoming, and it's all about visibility. And I always say, it's not what you know, it's not who you know, who knows you. Yeah. So you want to have conversations in the room and you're not there, and people are talking about you in the right way. So if you need to be connecting with someone, you need to connect with Abby, you need to connect with Farah, right? So that's really important. But having those meaningful conversations when you're going out networking, if you take away the burden of what's in it for me and say what's in it for the other person, for example, what's in it for Abby? How can I connect Abby to someone else? How can I help him? Maybe he's asked a question, how can I help him? So if you take that onus off yourself and put it on to other people and give without expectations, and the universe is so beautiful. I love how Allah works, because what goes round comes round. Right, so you take your time helping other people, and then when you do that, they will in return help you. Now, not everybody in a networking event is your cup of coffee, and I've said that several times. The phrase is tea, but I like to use coffee, just like to change it up a bit. So, and you've got to understand that. So, if the vibe is not there, the energy is not there, move on to and find someone that you can connect with. And it is conversations, it's all about commonality, right? So you may have children and I have children, and then we talk about our children, so we take away the business aspect of it. But do you know what? I want people to understand that business will happen. It will happen. Don't worry about it. But if you come across desperate, people will see that and they won't want to interact with you.
That's a really interesting approach. And I think it's one thing that was also lacking in the digital world as well, is I get a lot of DMs, I get a lot of people reaching out and they're always seeking to take, right? Oh, what can you give me a few minutes of your time? Can you help me with this business idea? Would you be able to help me do this? But seldom do I find people actually reaching out, looking to build true connections or even give value before they get value, right? And I think it's
Exactly.
such a simple principle that is often ignored, is how can I give value to the individuals so that they will want to return that value to me, right? Because ultimately, at the end of the day, and I was reading this book and I forget what it was called, but it was a book about persuasion and sales. And it talked about the principle of reciprocity. And essentially, that human beings want to reciprocate, right? If we receive something, we want to return the favor. This is even why, if you walk into a Costco, or one of these stores that offers free samples, they're going to do that because they know if they give you a free sample, you're like, oh no, I feel bad, I have to buy something, right? I want to return the favor. So that's a marketing strategy, actually. So it's interesting, but we often forget that when it comes to networking, when it comes to reaching out to people that we feel like they can benefit us. How can we benefit them first? And it's an interesting approach you take. Now, let me ask you this. For people who are starting off, who are desperate, who are like really looking to get clients, is networking the path that they should take, or should they figure something else out before they add networking to their strategy?
Networking should be a part of your marketing strategy. And so when you take out the word networking, so see, networking comes with so many different things and it's tarnished with the wrong brush. So if you talk about networking, think about having a conversation. So your networking should be that you're there, you're visible, you're having a conversation. The networking happens on social media platforms like LinkedIn. So you need to continue that. And it's like a strategy. Now, it's a long-term strategy. But if you've already done it and you've solidified it, you've got the roots on it, right? Then it's easier to build up. But it will take time. But once you start doing it, then automatically you've created a system where you're networking, you're on LinkedIn, you're on other social media platforms, and that's how it grows. Do you see what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So if you think about it, we're in the technology now with AI. Everything is getting advanced. So many people are losing out, and so many people's businesses have gone down and under because they've not come up to the level where we should be at. And in business, you should always be one step ahead, right? So people are thinking about doing videos now, whereas, hello, videos have been done and dusted. Move on. We need to look at somewhere else. So it's all about coming out of your comfort zone and trying something new. So if you networking is for everyone. I don't care if you're an extrovert or an introvert, right? You can network as an introvert and you can use your skills. It could be visibility, like could be videos, it could be writing. There's different ways of being visible. And automatically people assume that you have to be out there and go, yeah. Look at me, I'm here. No, it doesn't work like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah.
100%, definitely. So let me ask you this. For you personally, Sister Farah, what have you found to be the best strategy for you as an individual, as a coach, to build your personal brand? Because you have a very powerful personal brand on LinkedIn, mashallah, that's where we connected. And you put yourself out there. And I see a lot of specifically Muslim sisters who struggle with putting themselves out there. And I feel like if they were to just overcome that fear, because it's I work with entrepreneurs and they come to me, they're like, I want to build a business, I want to build an audience, I want to get clients, but oh, I'm not comfortable like posting anything on social media. It's like, okay, but that's going to severely handicap your growth because that's literally a tool available to you where you can get an audience, you can get clients, and it's there to use for free to your advantage. So for you, someone who's actually overcome that fear, gain that confidence, put yourself out there. Do you have any advice for someone that may be in the position where they're still scared to take that first step?
It's always that first step. And I love this analogy. It's like starting your car. Here, I'm from Scotland, as you can tell by my accent, right? So, and it's always cold. So when we wake up in the morning and we try to start our car, initially it's really hard, right? It goes boo, 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 it takes ages, right? Then all of a sudden it starts going. And then when it starts going, it goes smoothly, right? And that's like with everything. If you look at young kids, little babies, right? They're learning how to walk. They're not going to give up. The parents are not going to let them give up. And the wee babies don't give up either. They'll keep getting up and they'll keep trying and they'll keep trying and they'll do it. Right? And that's the same analogy if you look at life in general. If you don't start something, you'll never know how to do it. And it's trial and error. We all make mistakes and it doesn't really matter. There's nobody like Abby, there's nobody like Farah. And there's nobody like that person. So why don't you just go out and just be yourself? Stop overthinking, oh, I have to be businesslike, I have to be professional. Things have changed now. You can still have fun, you can still be professional, and you can still put out whatever you want. But as long as within the boundaries and your language is fine, it doesn't really matter. And if you make a grammar mistake, so what? Big deal. And it's a great engagement tool because there's always people out there who will say, but you didn't have the A here, you should have put the E there. But it's a great conversation starter, isn't it?
That's 100%
So.
true. Yeah, definitely. That's a good approach. I like it. You know what? Maybe I should put mistakes in my post on purpose.
Yeah, I'll say, Abby, you've got a mistake.
Exactly. And that's our first comment. We got it. Let's go.
Exactly.
I'm gonna love it. So let me ask you this. On the topic of habits, how did you come to be, this coach that helps people with accountability and habits? Like, how did you find that this is your purpose, your why, and what drives you? How did you discover that? And how did you, even once you discovered it, how did you come to the conclusion that this would be something that you could actually transform into a business?
You don't know that. That's a really good question. You don't really know that until you actually put yourself out there. Now, I have to go right back because my journey is totally different from anyone else. Because I had no intentions of doing what I'm doing. I was happy, married, two young children, and everything was fine until God said, "Farah, I need to put you out there, and you need to do something about it." So, just to cut long story short, so I wasn't very spiritual and I wasn't religious. So, and I was didn't pray 5 times a day. But when I was put into this predicament and this situation that I had, and I had to deal with it, and the first thing I did say, you probably hear me say this, this is how I addressed God. I said, "Hey, dude." That's because I didn't know how to address God, to be very honest.
Yeah,
I
subhanAllah.
said, "Hey, dude, you put me into this situation. Gonna sort it." In my English, Scottish twang, I just said, "Gonna sort it for me." And there was this electrifying feeling that went through my body, Abby, and I've never felt that feeling. And it just felt as if God just answered something for me. But now, when I look back, God wanted to guide me towards Him, right? And I
SubhanAllah.
went to sleep that night and I cried all night. And then it felt as if somebody came and cleared my tears, and it was the best sleep ever. And I woke up thinking, right, I can either hum and haw about this situation with my husband who wasn't well and everything was taken away from me. How am I going to deal with it? But then I put my faith in God. And that was a turning point of my life. And when I let go of my worries and I said, "God, well, if you can make me feel like this, and I wonder what else you can do for me." So I just let it
SubhanAllah.
go, and then I made God my accountability partner.
SubhanAllah. Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so God is there with us, watching us 24/7. So regardless of what we do, what we say, where we are, we're watched. So like if you're in driving and you see the speed camera and you just whoosh through thinking the camera's not going to watch you, but God is watching you. That's just a small analogy. But you should be that person in front of the screen and behind the screen, right? Because God is watching us. So when I brought God into my life and brought that faith in there, my life started changing. And I really understood the power of loving God and the connection with God. We're brought up to fear God. That's the generation I was brought up in. And I really couldn't understand, why are we scared of God when God can love us? He's created us. He wants the best for us. So why do our parents teach us to fear God? Then it's again, it's a control thing. They want to control us. So as parents, it doesn't matter if you've got the title of a mother or a father. You might not be right all the time. You're not. You're a human being. So those things, there were so many such I had to do unlearning and a lot of stuff which I unlearned, and then I had to start from scratch. But it's not something that you do overnight, it builds over a period of time. And then I got into the world of corporate world, built up my career, and then networking came into it. But then as I grew, my faith grew as well. So this is why God done what he done. So my purpose in life here is to show people the way, lead by example. And it does bring tears to my eyes because we're lost. There's so many people out there that are lost that need the guidance. So the way I see it is, I see it that God has given me the ability, God has given me these tools. I've embraced those tools. So how am I going to use these tools to help other people? So it's a gift that God has given me. So when you accept the gift, you accept the tools, you know how to use them because God has given them to you. So we don't want to be ungrateful for what God has given us. So that's why I use the tools and I use my ability to help other people. That those people whom God wants to guide, and they come through me. Right?
SubhanAllah.
Really hard to explain, but I hope you get the gist of what I'm trying to say.
Definitely. Well, every single person takes an act. I mean, here's my interpretation of it, is that ultimately, like every single person, if we're talking about like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, right, people in this world, sometimes it can be through an individual. It can be through a friend that comes to you and says, "Hey, I think you should, maybe reconsider the decision you're making, or reconsider the path that you're on." Or maybe it's you listening to a sheikh or a sermon or an imam that mentions something and it just goes into your heart. And everything we know as Muslims, that everything that happens around us is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So it's decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it would not happen if it was not the will of Allah, right? The only reason we are here today speaking is because it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely.
And so if you were to work with an individual and help guide them through their own journey as well, that is because that is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are able to align your intentions in really maybe stepping back a bit and recognizing, well, how can I make this work a form of worship? How can I make what I do every day, set it up with the intention that what I do is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ultimately tying everything back to Him, then your work becomes a form of worship. And this is the way that I see it, and the way that I see what you're communicating to me. I may be wrong, but that's how I understood
No,
it.
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I do pray to God is that at the end of the day, we're all going to die, but we're not really going to die. Our souls are just going home. That's just the way I see it. And I look forward to going home. And I
SubhanAllah.
know this world is just temporary, but I'm here to do my work because I'm God's soldier and like everybody else. But once we've got clarity in this world and what we're doing, then you look forward to going home because you're going to do all this hard work and God is going to put you through trials and tribulations, but He wants to see how you bounce back. And when you start thinking that way, then everyone's journey is different. This is why you don't look at other people and what they're doing because their calling is different. My calling is different. Your calling is different, but the end goal for all of us is to do good for others, yeah, and look after each other and pray and do all those things. That's the end goal. But how we all do it in a different way. So you do it through your podcasting or whatever you do, I do it in my way. So we've all been assigned these jobs, and that's what we're doing.
SubhanAllah. Yeah, Hasanti, that was beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. I want to ask you this because one thing that you mentioned resonated with me, and is that you look forward to going home, right? To your soul, and to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think every Muslim should be excited about meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know, and I think I if I remember correctly, I believe it's through a hadith that we have this narration. But it's about the day of judgment, and then about the akhirah, and it's how the Muslims in the akhirah, once they are in paradise, they will be given a gift, and this gift is better than everything that is within paradise and all that is in it, right? And it is to actually, and the narration is to see the face of Allah. And of course, we know that Allah doesn't have a face like what we have, physical shape or form, but it is a metaphor, and to meet our Lord essentially. And SubhanAllah, for even the Prophet ﷺ to tell us, and for us to believe as Muslims, that ultimately the greatest pleasure that we can seek is the meeting with our Lord, right? Then how do we position ourselves in this world to be ready for that meeting? And that ties it all back to how you mentioned that you help people with their habits. And I think habits is one of the biggest ways that we can influence whether we are excited for that meeting, or whether we feel scared to have it, and whether we fear Allah, and we're in a position where we feel like, you know what, I need to change things. So my question to you is, for someone that maybe feels like they're not in the right place and they want to implement better habits, like they want, maybe they're not praying 5 times a day, maybe they're not doing their tasbih, maybe they just need to do a little bit more istighfar, and maybe they need to cut out habits instead of implementing, maybe they need to remove, right? Is there any specific strategies or methods that you've seen as a coach that are principles that anyone can follow when it comes to either implementing or removing certain habits from our lives? Because that's something that I feel like I struggle with as well.
Okay, it's a really good one. Let me tell you this, Abby. God has clearly said in Hadith in the Quran, He absolutely says, I will forgive you. Yeah. These are very powerful words. But we don't, everybody, most of the people just take it literally and they don't really understand the depth of that. So when God says, I will forgive you as long as you don't do it again, and you truly repent and you want to move, and then I will guide you and I will show you and I will open up doors for you. Okay? So God does not want us on our prayer mats 24/7. Nada. That's not what God wants, right? God doesn't want us to go up and down all the time. He doesn't want that. He wants to know your attention, right? So if you are willing to get up and say your Fajr prayer, for example, just that getting up, right, is just an amazing feeling that you're going towards the right thing. You don't have to be praying 5 times a day because it doesn't happen overnight. If you can do one prayer with focus and intention and master it, right? And you did that with the second prayer, automatically you'll want to do it with your other prayers, wouldn't you? Okay, it's a natural process. But if you burden yourself with too much, you're going to give up. Right? And God understands that. So the more you try, the more God helps. Right? Because our spiritual faith and everything, it's like a yo-yo. One day it's up here and one day it goes right down. And when you feel you're going back down, in order to lift yourself, go back to basics. Go back to your one prayer. But what happens is that people say, I can't do five, I'm not doing any. See, that's the difference. And Islam teaches us discipline. Islam teaches us habits. So all the stuff that goes on in this world talks about visualization, manifestation, positive habits, positive mindset. Islam already teaches us that. So that's all common sense, but it's not common practice. So if you take the simple things, so as human beings, we're always thinking, what's the catch? What's the catch? There's no catch. It's very simple. Create small habits that work for you. That might not work for me. It doesn't matter what others are doing. You do what's good for you. And it doesn't matter if your community is coming over and or even your parents are saying to you, one prayer is not enough, son. You need to read five prayers. Right? It doesn't matter because your spiritual journey is between you and God. Oh my God. How amazing is that when you actually realize that connection that you've got with God and God is trying to help you. So as long as you take action and as long as you do what you have to do, it doesn't matter how long it takes, God will guide you.
SubhanAllah. I love that. That was beautiful, mashallah. I truly think that's a bit something that we don't often talk about in the Muslim community, and we actually often ignore, maybe are scared to talk about, is how can we bring people who are maybe further away or at different stages and help support them through that journey of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I say that they, I include myself in this statement. Because we're all on a journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely.
But what you said is really powerful because I know people in my own life that, it's kind of like all or nothing. I'm either going to pray the five fara'id or I'm not, or I'm either going to be a good Muslim or I'm not. And if I'm not doing one thing, then that means I just shouldn't do anything else. And I've really come to find in my own life as well that there are sometimes certain areas of my life that I might not be doing as good as I should. I have certain non-negotiables in my own personal life. Like for me, alhamdulillah, prayer isn't a non-negotiable. But then I have certain other things in my life that I might, sometimes falter on. But I've grown to never let that kind of take away from, well, you know what? Whether these things are faltering or not, like for me, the baseline is I got to do my five prayer. Like that's a non-negotiable for me. And I think as well, it's really beneficial for people if they have a consistent habit, like I'm consistent with my five prayers, but then maybe somewhere else in their lives, they feel like they're not as consistent as they should be, or maybe they're not being as good of a Muslim as they should be, that's not an excuse to then let go of what you already have. Like, set what you already have as a non-negotiable. Well, the Prophet ﷺ, there's a hadith where he says, like, praying five times a day, it's like going and washing yourself, right, in a river five times a day from all of your sins. So that's beautiful for someone, especially that might be sinning or might not be, you know, being as good a Muslim as they should be. You know, don't let go of prayer, man. That's like five showers a day. That's beautiful. You know, what more can we ask for, subhanAllah? So for me, the concept of like having a baseline non-negotiable has been really beneficial. Setting myself, okay, if I have this habit, that's something that is just non-negotiable for me, alhamdulillah. And I think that could be beneficial for others as well, as something to think about and consider.
You've also got to ask the question, what is a good Muslim?
Of course. Right. Subjective.
That's a very big question to ask. And everybody will tell you, answer that in a different way.
Yeah, it's subjective, but, definitely.
Yeah. So a good Muslim could be, yes, you're trying your best to do what you can do, right? And as long as you're not hurting anyone, as long as you're not disrespecting your elders, as long as you're not doing the things that are there, it's fine. But if you actually think about it, God has given us a structure. Islam is a structure. There's a structure. Mm-hmm. Okay? So whatever you do within that structure, within that boundary, is entirely up to you. But the problem is that people take it very literally. Mm-hmm. Oh, it has to be done this way, or it has to be done this way. It doesn't have to be done this way. Everybody's circumstances are different. As long as you're within the frame, in that structure, you do what's good for you, and as long as God is happy with it, who cares?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, 100%. I thank you for this conversation. This is it was really beneficial for me, and it was enlightening for me as well. Is there a question that you feel like I should have asked you, or that you would have liked to share with the audience that maybe I didn't? Any kind of lessons?
When I get asked to come onto podcasts, I never prepare. Because whatever is meant to come out will come out. Mm-hmm. And whatever you're going to ask, it will come. And and whatever people want to hear at that time will come out. So I never have anything in mind. And I just like to let the conversation flow naturally and see where it goes. Mm-hmm. So it was meant to go this way. Yeah. Do you see what I mean? Yeah.
I completely agree.
We had no intentions
agree.
Of asking me these questions, but it just went that way.
You know, it's interesting because I don't, as well, like I don't prepare. I don't come in with the script. Like this is just, kind of, I like to just have a conversation. I think that's ultimately winds up being the most genuine and the most authentic. Some guests are like, no, I absolutely want you to send me a few questions, and then I do. But a lot, I prefer doing this format because really, ultimately, you allow the conversation to flow towards where it should flow, subhanAllah. And this conversation today started with accountability and habits, and then flowed towards Islam and how to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's so beautiful. So let me ask you this, sister, is there a way for people to connect with you and learn more about habit building, accountability? Maybe you get your help with that, get your help with networking and being a better networker. Where should we tell them to go?
There's my website, farahnetworking.com, which is available there. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can get me on Instagram. You can get me on TikTok and visible everywhere. But if you, as I say, if you want to find me, God will help you find me. Simple as that. And for accountability, I run an accountability academy, which I run every month, which you come in and we discuss what you want to get rid of or what you want to create. And I just help you, just give you that direction and I get it out of you and I'll show you how to do it. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. I have a beautiful client. She's based in Texas and she's a revert. And when she came to me, she was confused. Because she heard so much that was going on. And alhamdulillah, honestly, I just look at her and I just feel so happy and blessed that God put her in front of me. And she's just changed the way she's doing things. And she's wearing her hijab, she's praying. And we all started off with what? With one prayer. Mm. One prayer. And mashallah, now she's doing her five prayers every single day. She's going into conferences and she's inspiring other women as well. And that's just beautiful.
Yeah. SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all and allow us to connect with him. And may he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allow us to live a life where we are pleased with meeting him and he is pleased with us. Ameen. Because I think there's nothing more beautiful than being in that position, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية, which means like that you are pleased with him and he is pleased with you.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like from both sides, subhanAllah. So such a beautiful, beautiful verse. Farah, thank you so much for joining us today. It was an absolute pleasure. This conversation was fantastic. And hopefully, inshallah, we'll have you back on to even talk a little bit more about what it is that you do. But we'll make sure to drop all the links that you mentioned in the description. So if you're listening to this, make sure to check out Farah's website or connect with her on social media in the links in the episode notes. And hopefully we'll see you all in the next episode. JazakAllah khair, Farah. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
My pleasure. Assalamu alaikum.